with a word of gratitude for what both the IPU and the European Parliament have been doing to convene this crowd once more under the WTO roof. I won't expand too much on why I believe your presence here is important to us. As your chairman said yesterday, you are in many ways the House of Parliament. We are the House of Trade. And this link, exchange, bridge between the House of Parliament and the House of Trade is extremely important to us for one simple reason, which is that we believe that we are accountable to parliamentarians. Of course, WTO remains an organization between governments, but these governments are accountable to you. So in this way, we are accountable to you. And we believe that this accountability and your own engagement and involvement in our trade issues is a good way to strengthen the multilateral trading system, providing legitimacy for what we do. Let me also thank you for the initiative you took this year, as usual, with an active participation in our public forum. Many of you were present this year, the steering committee. The Parliamentary Conference on the WTO had the good initiative to meet on the sidelines of the forum. We also had, during this public forum, a special workshop on fair trade, which was organized by the Assemblée Parlementaire de la Francophonie. I'm just mentioning this as signals that what we're doing together is not just nice speeches, but concrete engagement and interaction. Now, this being said, let me try and give you a rapid state of play of where things stand in the World Trade Organization. As you know, we have different activities in the WTO. We are making rules. The rule book of WTO exists. Our members believe it should be amended on a few chapters, and this is part of our activity. Part of this has to do with what we call the Doha Development Agenda. Other parts of the negotiating activity are outside this agenda, but are nevertheless active. Second business we're in is monitoring, surveillance. It's great to have rules for world trade. It's better if they are implemented, enforced by our members, which sometimes lead to what is the matter of our third activity, which is disputes, litigation, making sure that if one of our members believes that another of our members does not comply with its commitment, we have a proper litigation process to adjudicate this difference, friction, dispute. And finally, of course, the whole range of activities which we have around aid for trade, technical assistance, in order to make sure that the less developed members of the WTO benefit from support in order to build their trade capacity to a level that allows them to benefit from the rules of open trade. I won't expand on the three activities I've just mentioned. In many ways, they are doing fine. Where we focus our attention and where I think your own attention should be focused is first on monitoring and surveillance, and second on rules making, legislation, negotiations. Now, I put monitoring and surveillance in number one, which I haven't always done, for a simple reason, which is that we still are struggling against extremely strong headwinds. As far as the macroeconomic world outlook is concerned, I think it's pretty clear that we haven't exited this crisis. Whichever efforts are made by individual countries to exit the crisis via various macroeconomic or financial endeavors, the reality is that we probably are in this low growth crisis worldwide for the years to come. Now, whether it's 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and it may be 3 years, but it may also be 10 years, remains to be seen. But this creates a context which raises serious issues on the trade side, for a simple reason, which is that as this crisis bites into economic and social systems, protectionist pressures inevitably, and that was to be expected, are flaring in a number of countries in this planet, most of which are WTO members. This creates a danger for world trade, which is why the first front on which we are operating today is a sort of defensive front. We have to keep pushing back these protectionist pressures so that the level of trade opening which we've constructed for the last 50 years does not regress, is not damaged, and this is not a small beer. We, as you know, have put together a specific monitoring process. We regularly track all trade policy developments worldwide, whether trade restrictive or trade opening. We regularly publish these findings, this sort of radar screen snapshot, and we regularly discuss this with our members in open sessions like this one, and also with the G20, which has tasked us, like other international organizations, such as UNCTAD, OECD, for instance, to keep a very strong eye on these developments. Now, so far, our findings are that there hasn't been any serious outbreak of protectionist epidemic, although we've had some worrying spots here and there in some of our members, and I repeat that the priority today remains to keep this front stable. The core business of WTO is opening trade for the benefit of our and your populations, and the first thing to do if you want to open trade is to keep trade open. And that's a given, and this is what mobilizes many of our forces for the moment. Now, we all know that we also have to keep opening trade for various reasons, some of an economic and technical nature. The reality is that the patterns of world trade have changed tremendously for the last 10 or 20 years, and we've moved from a world where a country was producing something finished and exporting it to another country which would consume it, to a system of value chains, whether national, regional, or global, which have scattered the various production processes, hence the extreme importance of not clogging these value chains, which at the end of the day is what brings to people what really matters about politics today, which is jobs. in order to keep opening trade in this direction, we have to solve a number of differences which remains in the negotiating agenda of the WTO. As you know, for various reasons, the big deal which was bundled, the agenda of which was bundled 10 years ago in Doha, so far has not been concluded, and I do not see, given the reasons why it hasn't been concluded, any strong hope or reason why it would be concluded as a package in the times to come, but that doesn't mean that progress is not doable. Some elements of this package are sort of low-hanging, like trade facilitation, like a number of dispositions in favor of developing countries, like some elements of the agricultural package. So there are possible outcomes which would bring benefits to traders, industries, businesses, and again, at the end of the day, jobs, starting, of course, with trade facilitation, which I recognize is not a headline-catching issue, but which is of major importance, especially given the proliferation of these value chains. As you may know, the average cost of moving trade through borders worldwide is today roughly 10% of world trade. So it costs 10% of world trade to move trade through borders for various reasons, administrative operations, fees, controls which traders have to pay for, and so on. If you compare this to the average trade-weighted worldwide tariff, which is what you have to pay in order to reach out to the market, again, average trade-weighted worldwide, this average trade-weighted worldwide tariff is today at 5%. So the reality on the ground is that it costs twice as much to pay for administrative procedures as it costs to pay for tariffs. And if this trade facilitation agreement, which members are presently negotiating, was to unfold, our calculations is that in 5 years, this 10% of cost would go down to 5%, which is an equivalent to eliminating all existing tariffs average worldwide. So this is of major importance, and it's for major importance, especially for small businesses, for whom these cost of processing trade is too big an entry ticket into the global market. So the moment you reduce that, you not only facilitate trade generally, but you open the door to global trade to many, many, many small businesses, notably in developing countries, who so far has been sidelined because of this cost of processing trade. Big multinationals do not have a big problem with that. They usually have armies of lawyers that can explain to the traders how the procedures work, and sometimes how these procedures can be manipulated in a way to be simplified. This is not available to small businesses, and we know that the reserve of job worldwide is more on this side. So this is the sort of number one issue on the negotiating agenda. As I said, there are several others. Whether bits of the Doha agenda, which can be early harvested, or areas which do not belong to the Doha agenda of negotiations, such as the revamping of the information technology agreement at a time where a larger and larger part of world trade is in IT products, such as a deal on services market opening, which a number of our members are trying to negotiate among themselves remain to be seen whether the result would be a multilateral one or a plurilateral one that is not encompassing all WTO members. We also have important activities in government procurement, and notably the accession of China to this government procurement agreement, which has been a negotiation going on for now many, many years. So the Doha agenda may be deadlocked for the moment. That doesn't mean that further trade opening agreements cannot be negotiated and agreed. And as we have the next ministerial conference in Indonesia at the end of next year, the prospect is, for the moment, that a number of these issues could be, I'm not saying will be, could be closed so that this ministerial conference registers these results at the end of next year. So that's roughly the landscape we are operating in. I will now stop this introduction so that we can reserve a maximum of time for questions, answers. We have a bit of time to do that. I'm with you for such a bit less than 1 hour. So the floor is yours, and I'm go back in the hand of the chairman.
Thank you very, very much for that. Thank you very, very much for that excellent overview. And I can tell you that I already have more than 17 requests for interventions. And I'm going to ask, in fairness to everyone in the room, that rather than give a statement of what the economy is like in your own country, if you could devote your time to asking specific questions to Mr. Lamy. We're very, very lucky to have him here. And he is open to our questions, so let's take advantage of that. The first question will come from the delegate from Belgium, Mr. Vandermeulen. And you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Lamy, there you organized, I think, a very interesting brainstorming on world trade by installing a panel of 12 wise men and women. But there has been fierce criticism on the composition of this panel. Strong, very strong presence of corporate sector, inadequate representation of civil society. Of the 12 members of the panel, only one is from Africa and one is from Latin America. There are no representatives of LDCs, and United Nations Conference on Trade and Development has been excluded, which means a risk of excluding the concept of development from WTO. I would like to hear your reaction on this criticism. First question. Second question, when can we expect this report? And third question, it's a question to you, but also to the presidency of this conference. I think this is very interesting for members of Parliament to be part of the discussion after the report, because this is about the new trends, the new thinking on world trade, and how could we organize a greater involvement of members of Parliament in this very important discussions, which will be the trade for the 21st century. I think we have to take part in this debate.
Thank you for the question. I'm going to ask Mr. Lamy if perhaps he can respond to that question, and then I'm going to take three more questions, so we'll take three at once and let him answer those. But if you would perhaps refer to this topic. Thank you.
On this one, first about the composition of the panel, of course, highly linked to the purpose of the panel. And the purpose of the panel is to give to WTO members a proper view of how trade works today, what are the real obstacles to trade for now and for the future. And this explains why roughly half of the panel members are from business. What I needed was business input, people who know how things work on the ground. Now, continental representation, it's balanced. I have one representative for US, one for EU, one for two for Asia, one for Africa. civil society is represented by at least one, if not two members, Pradeep Mehta and Sharon Barrow, which, by the way, you had the occasion to listen to yesterday. And both of them are not exactly representatives of business. The development dimension is there with the boss of the United Nations Development Programme. And if the United Nations Development Programme is not about development, I wonder what this is about. So I heard about these critics, that there's not enough of this or that there's too much of that. This was my decision. I needed a relatively small group in order for the group to really be interactive. I totally respect this criticism, but in front of each of them, I have an answer which I have taken into account while I compose the panel. The report should be ready early spring next time, next year, sort of, let's say, March. Depends, of course, on the work. I want them to be able to interact together, to come to consensus on some issues, and this deserves quite a bit of traction and interaction. Now, what will happen with the result of these finding with report is for the members of WTO to decide, not for me. Now, my initial intention was to provide elements of understanding of the new trade patterns, of the new obstacle to trade, of the new way trade works for growth, development and job creation, the interaction which we had between the panel and members on the occasion of the public forum led me to the conclusion that we probably should go a bit further, because there was a strong request from WTO members during this session for the panel to be a bit more precise on what the future agenda of the WTO would be. Now, I will be very careful about this, because it's for members to decide what the future agenda of the WTO is, but I got, as a result of this very fruitful and dense interaction, the notion that we probably will have somehow to step into this, and this, of course, will then be open for discussion among our members, by the public at large, and including by you.
Thank you very much. The next